Welcome to Discovering Victory, a monthly podcast ministry where we feature life-changing messages recorded live at America's Keswick. My name is Graham Wilson, and with me today is Dr. Bill Welty, President and CEO of America's Keswick. Bill, welcome to the podcast.
Graham, it's good to have you here today, and we're really excited that the podcast is going to be in video format now. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see what God's going to do with this. So as we speak, we're entering into Memorial Day weekend. I can hear the guests coming in upstairs. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what this weekend entails?
Graham, there's a lot of buzz. This is the kickoff to our 2015 summer season. Dr. Ron Klein is going to be our speaker for the weekend. Sue and Jeff Duffield will be with us to do worship, along with Robert Joyce and Jordan Hayes. Our friends from JARS are here flying the helicopter. We'll be sharing with us what God's doing around the world. Our theme this summer is Live Courageously, and our desire is that our guests will come away knowing what it means to live courageously with the Lord in this ever-changing, crazy world. And if our guests are watching the podcast today, couldn't be here, they can always go to our website, www.americaskeswick.org, and download the archives and still be a part of the weekend. It's going to be an exciting time.
Awesome. So today we're listening to a message, and who is our speaker for today?
Well, one of our favorites in America's Keswick is good old Dr. Charles Zimmerman. Graham, you're how old?
25.
Just a young whippersnapper. I just turned 61, and you keep pushing me with the social media thing. Facebook I get, Twitter, I'm just starting to learn how to tweet. You want me on Instagram, all these things. And we keep hearing about hashtags. I'm still trying to understand all that. We are so connected in our world today. In fact, you know, if you don't have your cell phone, you're really dead in the water. But one wrong click can take you in places you have no place being. Mm. And that's why it's really important for us to be connected to the right sources, the right resources. And obviously that's connected to God and His Word. And Charles is going to be sharing a message about that. He's going to be here at America's Keswick July 26th to 28th. We'd love to have our guests come for that week. I think there's still a few more rooms. And first-timers get a 50% off.
50%
off. If they've never been here. And so Charles is going to share a great message. He's going to sort of hash it out for us.
There we go. Let's check it out.
Well, here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at and examine whoever or whatever you follow and compare and contrast it with Jesus. And I want you to make your own decision. Who should you follow? You know, sometimes we have this mistaken idea that we need to kind of protect God and stave off the competition. The Bible says, Jesus says, bring them on. Bring them on. So whatever you're following, whomever you're following, you bring them on. And we're going to look at four hashtags tonight, since we're doing social media. Hashtags, right? Hashtags are kind of like designations you can use to see what's trending those days. And you punch in a hashtag and then a word or a phrase, and it will pull together through that social media network all the phrases or all the words that have been hashtagged like that. So we're going to look at four hashtags, and we're going to see what comes up with Jesus or about Jesus with the four hashtags. And I want you to take whatever or whomever you're following, and you make the comparison and the contrast with Jesus. You ready? Here's our first hashtag. Hashtag for you. For you. I'm going to try to attach an event from Jesus' life. We could attach a lot of events. I'm going to try to attach one event to each of the hashtags just so you can kind of cement it into your brain, all right? Jesus lived a for you kind of life. And that really is a strange kind of life because all of us are used to living a for me kind of life, right? And so the whole world lives for me. Jesus came and lived for you. And that's a radical difference, isn't it? And so into a for me world, Jesus came and lived for you. And one of the places that shows up maybe more clearly than anywhere else is right at the last dinner that Jesus was going to have with his disciples. Remember that? So the place was chosen. Everything was prepared. The disciples and Jesus arrive. They're all ready to celebrate the big Passover meal together. But there's a problem. The foot washing kid is a no-show. So immediately the disciples start texting the kid. where the heck are you, right? Because they know two things. The foot washing guy is not here, and I'm not washing these funky feet, right? So they know two things. If the foot washing guy doesn't show, we're eating dinner with dirty feet. And you know what? You'd probably be in that same situation, right? Did you ever look at Peter's feet? I mean, he was a fisherman, right? Probably smelled like fish, had, you know, he probably fished barefoot, got all those gnarly things on it, fungus on the nails. That's nasty stuff, right? They walked around barefoot. That's why you needed a foot washing kid, because feet were funky. And so the disciples are all looking around. They can't find a kid. He's not coming. He's not texting back. He's not calling in. They know he's not there. They know they're not washing feet. But Jesus gets up from the table. He takes off his robe, puts the towel around his waist, picks up the basin of water, and proceeds to go from disciple to disciple to disciple to wash their filthy feet. Many of you know this. If you don't, you may be surprised. Judas was still there. Jesus washed his feet. He washed Peter's feet. Now, Peter kind of objected, right? I mean, Peter usually gets it wrong. He's not just wrong. He's usually double wrong. And so, Peter, you're not washing my feet. Jesus says, well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. Well, then give me a bath. And Jesus said, you're not getting a bath either, Peter. If you're clean, you're already clean. You just had dirty feet. I'll wash your feet. Okay. Yeah, Peter's thick-headed, right? Some of you can identify. And so Jesus proceeds to wash their feet. There was not a disciple in the room that was willing to do that for the others. But Jesus said, I'll wash your feet. I'll live for you. In a for-me world, I'll wash your feet. I'll get down on my hands and knees, and I'll put my nose and my hands right next to your filthy feet, and I'll wash them off. I'll live for you. You know, but that's only one incident. In Mark's gospel, it's kind of the hinge verse of Mark's gospel. It actually highlights this for you kind of lifestyle. Mark 10:45 says it like this. I think we have a slide. The Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served. He didn't come to live for me. He came to serve, to live for you, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, you could take that hashtag for you, and you could start in Matthew 1 and read all the way through John 21, and you will see chapter after chapter, verse after verse, Jesus living for you, for you, for you, for you. In a for-me world, Jesus came and lived for you. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Can you imagine how different our world would be if we actually followed Jesus rather than just said we followed Jesus? Maybe we'd be living for you rather than for me. Can you imagine if the New York Yankees washed their fans' feet for paying those exorbitant prices every day to come to the game? That'd be interesting. Wouldn't it? Have the whole team there washing feet when they came in. How about if President Obama washed John Boehner's feet? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? How about if John McCain washed Nancy Pelosi's feet? Ooh, washed Nancy Pelosi. That'd probably change the climate in D.C., don't you think? How about if the Israelis and the Palestinians washed each other's feet tomorrow? Wouldn't that change that mess over there? Yeah, but they're all at arm's length, right? How about a few husbands in the room, rather than living for me, started washing your wife's feet and lived for her, rather than for me? And maybe you have a meeting, maybe you spend some time, you go for a walk around the lake, and maybe you husbands need to say it, but only say it if you mean it. Honey, I have been living a for-me kind of life. And this marriage has been about for me, and this family's been about for me, and the schedule's been for me, and I want that to change. I want to live for you. And wouldn't it be an amazing thing if right at that moment the wife said, no, I want to live for you. And then you could have a real good marital fight, right? I mean, most of our fights are for me. Wouldn't it be great to have a real fight for you? No, for you. I mean, that's the way we should be fighting, right? Who's going to win the for you battle? Parents, how about if when you get home from Keswick, or maybe one day when you're here, if your kids come running out, Mom, Dad, we just want you to know, we've been putting ourselves and our interests way ahead of your own. We want to live for you. What can we do for you? And at that moment, I have to say, well, right now you need to get the paddles because my heart just stopped. You need to hurry up and get it started again. How about in our businesses? If those at the top of the hierarchical ladder look down at those on the lower rungs of the ladder and said, how's life going for you down there? How can we do something and serve you and live for you? Or how about with your neighbor or with your friend or with that person who really needs a helping hand? If we stop living a for-me life where we're oblivious to the needs that are around us and deaf to what's happening, and he said, you know what? Jesus lived for you. Maybe I need to follow him and live a for-you kind of life too. Well, that's our first hashtag, and let's just stop and ask the question. Do you think it would be smart or stupid to follow someone who lived for you? That's like an IQ test, all right? I mean, you don't even have to make a spiritual decision. Just make a wise decision. How many of you would like to follow someone whose interests and passions were wrapped up in your welfare and what's good for you? And if the leader lived for you, wouldn't you want to follow somebody like that? Most wives would want to follow a husband like that. Most kids want to follow parents like that. We've got a Savior that lived for you. Who are you following? If it's not Jesus, I can guarantee you, whomever or whatever you're following does not live for you. They're living for me. And they want to use you and exploit you and oppress you and manipulate you to get what they want. And if you've ever struggled with an addiction of any kind, you know exactly what I'm saying. And at the end of the day, we're all addicts, friends. Some of us just have more socially acceptable addictions than others. All things you will follow, all people you will follow other than Jesus, live for me. Only Jesus lives for you.
That was a really interesting question Charles asked. Is there a time you can think when those who followed your leadership may have considered something you did a stupid choice?
Well, we don't have all day to answer that, but in my 20-plus years of ministry, yeah, I can think lots of times where I did something stupid. One of those times was when my son Zach was raising chickens for a homeschool project, and one day he came in crying because this, well, I'm not going to name the actual creature, was sort of ripping his chicken to shreds. And being from the city, I decided I would be the hero and go home and take care of that little thing that was eating up his chickens, along with my son-in-law, Garrett. And we put that, well, I'm not going to name it, but we put it in pet heaven. Mm-hmm. Only to find out, in the state of New Jersey, it's illegal to kill the animal that we did. I called the game warden. He thought it was kind of stupid that I would do that. Why would I do that? But God prompted me in my spirit that if I'm a man of integrity, I need to take care of that. I have 40 guys in the Colony of Mercy that look at me all the time, watching every move we made. That was a moment for me where I had to make a decision. Was I going to cover it up, or was I going to do the thing that was right? I'm not patting myself on the back, but for me, that was one of those defining moments in my life where I got to do the right thing.
Mm. Well, let's continue hearing what Dr. Charles has to say.
Hashtag restore. Jesus promises and Jesus begins this process of restoration. And so if you want to see what that restoration process looks like, you can think of the instant on that first Easter morning when Jesus said, I want my life back. And he took it back. And he walked out of the tomb alive. And just as his body was restored, so all of those that have made the instead trade with him will experience that restoration forever and ever. Bill mentioned earlier that he knows some of you that are here that have some physical limitations, liabilities, and pains, right? That would be all of us, some of you to a much greater degree. You know what hashtag restore means? One day your body's going to work as it was meant to work forever and ever. No more aches and pains, no more creaks and things that don't work the way they should. Everything's going to be just as it was intended. Any of you dealing with some emotional baggage and emotional issues, heartbreak? Oh, yeah. Restoration means one day all of that will be taken care of. You know, one of the best promises that I know of from Revelation is, in heaven forever, there won't be any tissues or hankies. Because you'll never have a cold, you'll never get sick, and you'll never shed a tear. That's not a bad deal, huh? The instead of life leads to the restored life. But here is the magic. Here's the amazing thing about that. Jesus begins that restoration now. That's not just something that begins when you check out. That's something that begins from the inside now. And Jesus wants us to be the hors d'oeuvres to all of those around us of what that life's going to be forever and ever. My guess is many of you have memorized this verse. If not, you need to add this to the Hebrews verse you memorize. If anyone be in Christ, the new creation has come. It's begun. Restoration's begun. The old has gone. The new is here. We have a number of partnerships that Calvary Church has established with different ministries and different organizations in Philadelphia. And one of those partnerships that we have is with an organization called Simple Cycle. And so Dan and his family run this thing in the city. It's called Simple Cycle. And here's how Simple Cycle works. Dan collects from all over the place. He collects bikes that basically are being discarded. And so at Calvary Church, the last couple of years, we've literally given him thousands and thousands of bikes. And let me tell you, if you would look at the pile of rust and mess and crap that the people at Calvary give, that you would be amazed that people store this junk, right? And so when I go to take one of my bikes, I'm looking at a mountain. The bikes would easily fill this room. I mean, those bikes, they don't have chains. They're all rusted. Some of them don't have handlebars. They don't have pedal. They're nothing. It's a mess. And what Dan does, he takes all of those bikes, and he lives right in North Philadelphia, and that's where the shop is. And Dan invites the kids from the neighborhood in, and he gives them a piece of crap. And he shows them how to weld. And he shows them how to paint. And he shows them how to tape. And he shows them how to put a sprocket on, and how to take links out of a chain to put it on, and how to get rid of rust, and how to chrome things. And once that kid has worked on that bike, he owns the bike. If you don't work at the bike, you don't get the bike. But if you work and restore the bike, you are now the owner of the bike. And all the while, Dan's helping the kids figure out how to restore a bike. He's telling them that that's what Jesus is doing in you, and that's what he can do if you trust in him. You've got a chain on the inside, and you've got gears, and you've got brakes, and you've got handlebars. And if you live a life far from him, you get all rusted and messed up. But if you trust in Jesus and you follow him, just as you're restoring this bike, so the Spirit will restore you. And one day, just like when your bike rolls out of this shop brand new, you're going to roll into the new heavens and the new earth, and you're going to have a body and a spirit that was designed by God just as he intended it to be. That's a pretty neat project, isn't it? And that's something that we all need to be reminded of. Oh, yeah, question? So who or what are you following? Does it promise and can it deliver restoration? Who are you following that can restore your body, restore your emotional state, restore your relationships, bring transformation and change to your life? Who can do that? Nobody but Jesus. Well, then by now you're probably thinking, so Charles, are you saying like I'd be a moron to follow something or someone other than Jesus? That would be correct, right? We're just kind of making it. You said it, right? We're just kind of making the case, all right? Hashtag restore. The process begins now. It culminates on the other side. Restoration forever and ever.
Restoration, that's a buzzword around here at America's Keswick that we know to be true. But what if someone doesn't know really about our addiction recovery ministries? How would you explain the difference between rehabilitation and a restored relationship in Jesus Christ.
Well, there's a difference between rehabilitation and transformation. Mm-hmm. And what we go for here at America's Keswick isn't just rehabilitation. It's a transformation. And that transformation takes place in the heart. If we don't reach the heart, nothing's going to change. It'll be surface. And there's certainly guys who can come through the program, do all the right things, say all the right things. But what we've discovered in 120 years, unless the heart changes, there's not going to be lasting change. And what happens is then it's an exchanged Christian life. It's taking a man who has tried everything else and finding out that Jesus Christ is the only answer to addiction. That's when reformation and transformation takes place in a man or woman's life.
One last hashtag. Hashtag with you. Well, we started, you know, kind of a for you. We'll end with kind of a with you. One of the amazing things about Christianity is not just where Jesus wasn't, it's where Jesus was and where Jesus is. Has everyone noticed that? Christianity is based on the resurrection. What's that mean? Where Jesus wasn't. So Christianity is based on the fact that Jesus wasn't in the tomb. Yeah, but that's not the whole story, friends. If he's not in the tomb, then where is he? Oh, yeah. He's with Mary, saying, Mary, you don't have to fear anymore. You don't have to hold on to me with your hands. I will now be in your heart forever. Mary, you don't have to fear. Jesus isn't in the tomb. He's with Peter. And he's saying, Peter, you don't have to feel guilty anymore. You are guilty, but I lived instead, and I died instead, and I paid instead. So your guilt's taken care of, so you don't have to feel guilty anymore. Peter, I'm with you. Jesus isn't in the tomb, but he's with Thomas. And he says, Thomas, you don't have to doubt anymore. I'm right here. I'm with you, and I'll be in you. Jesus isn't in the tomb, but he's with his disciples. And he's telling them, you now can live with purpose. You can live with significance. You can live with security because I'm with you forever. Jesus isn't in the tomb, but he's with you. And he's not there, but thank God he's here with you. Who do you follow? What do you follow? Can they make that promise? Can they deliver? Whoever you're following leaves you regularly. Whatever you follow, if you don't jump through the hoops, they disembark, they turn the other side, and they condemn you. It condemns you. Jesus is with you. He pursues you. He finds you. Never leaves you. Nothing else, no one else you follow can live with you. Not sure if we have a verse or a picture, Jen. You just hit it. Hey, who are these guys? You can say it, even though we're a Keswick. Who are they? Yeah, that's Kiss. That's Kiss. All right. Yeah, Gene Simmons in the crew, right? He's the one with the big tongue. He has his own reality show and stuff now, right? So that's Kiss. Now, I don't show you Kiss's picture because they're good. It's like they dress for Halloween every day. But I want to call your attention to a song that Kiss wrote and performed that actually speaks about with you, because every love song know something about with you, right? Even these guys, right? So here's the song. Now listen to the words with the picture in the background. Can you see it faintly? Here we go. Here's what they sing. No mountain could ever stand between us. No ocean could ever be that wide. Nothing can keep me from you. There's no race I would not go to. No distance would ever be too far to keep me away. I'd always find a way to show you it's true. Nothing can keep me from you. Now go back and show the picture again. All right, now let me just ask you. Do you think there might be something that could keep them from getting to you? Here's my question. Why would you want them with you, right? Not can they get... But the reality is, if you go back to the song, the reality is, at the end of the day, there's a whole lot of stuff that they... No mountain... They're all geezers now, right? There's no shot Gene Simmons can climb a mountain. That's my guess. He'll die of a heart attack on the way, right? The first clip. I mean, most of them, their brains are fried. They're not making a mountain. No ocean. Yeah, they're going to swim in ocean, right? That's what I'm... All right, but it's not just Kiss. How about these two? Do you know these two? That's Vince Gill and Sarah Evans. Country singers also sing about this with you phenomenon. Here's what they sing. If I had to run, if I had to crawl, if I had to swim 100 rivers just to climb 1,000 walls, always know that I would find a way to get to where you are. There's no place that far. Now, here's my guess. It's been a long time since Sarah ever climbed a wall. That's what I'm guessing, right? And if Vince Gill keeps getting fatter, he's not going to be able to push himself back from the buffet table, let alone climb a mountain or swim an ocean, right? Swim a river. And, you know, but you know what they're singing about, right? And if you're in love, you've heard, oh, honey, there's nothing that would keep me. If I had to swim 100 rivers just to climb 1,000, you know what? If Kim's waiting for me to swim a river and climb, it's not, she's going to be lonely, right? I mean, look, I try to work out, but 100 rivers, right? 1,000 walls, that's, but it's not just our love songs. It's also our parenting movies, right? Here's my wife's favorite movie, Taken, with Liam Neeson. You like that movie? My wife likes any movie where the bad guys die, right? She's into justice. My life's not always good, right? Now, Liam Neeson, he's kind of a former CIA guy who is really skilled at hurting people and killing people. The bad guys make a serious mistake by kidnapping his daughter. And he says, good luck, on the phone. He should have said it like it with a different accent. Liam hunts him down. And he basically, through hell or high water, he gets his daughter back. And my wife's favorite part is when that fat guy gets shot in the head on the boat, right? And justice is served and the daughter goes home. But here's the reality. A lot of dads in the room. You feel that, don't you? Somebody takes your kid, you're going to go get them. Something happens, you're going to straighten it out. If you love your husband, your wife, or you're in love with someone, somebody messes with your, you're going to swim an ocean, you're going to climb a wall. But here's the reality. Dad, sometimes kids have stuff happen to them and you can't do a darn thing about it. Truth is, somebody takes one of our kids, what are you really going to do? Not a whole lot you can do. So does that mean all our love songs are just fiction? And all of our movies are just kind of feel good because that's not how life goes? No. There is a lover who said, I'll swim 100 rivers. I'll climb 1,000 walls. Nothing can keep me from you. And there is a father who will do anything to get his kids back. Those songs and those movies come from something a whole lot deeper than looking at what's happening in your life and what's happening in mine. Jesus says, I didn't swim 100 rivers. And I didn't climb a mountain or 1,000 walls. But I put on flesh and I became just like one of you. And I lived the life that you should have died and I climbed on a cross. And I was nailed to it and lost my life. And worse than that, I was abandoned by my Father instead of you. Because a father will do anything to get his kids back, and a lover will go to any length to get his lover back. Any earthly lover, any earthly parent will fall short. Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. For you, instead.
Wow, that's really powerful to think about it in that way. That God the Father abandoned God the Son instead of us. How do you think that one truth would impact someone in addiction?
Well, Graham, you grew up in a really good Christian home. Your mom and dad loved you, and they loved you unconditionally. And what we've learned is how an individual views their earthly parents will impact how they view their heavenly father. And so it's really important for a guy or a gal who's been in addiction, they have tried to fill that ache, that longingness for love and acceptance with all kinds of things, thinking that those things are what's going to make the change. So they turn to alcohol, drugs, gambling, pornography, and tobacco. What they need to understand is that Jesus is not a promise breaker. He's a promise keeper. And when they come to understand that God loves them unconditionally, that's going to make all the difference in the world in how they view their heavenly father and how they flesh out their victorious Christian life.
Cool. Well, what if someone today is listening to the podcast, watching the new video, and saying, you know what, I think I'm struggling. I'm a man or woman, and some of the things we've talked about today, I'm not sure if I have. I think I need help. How would they go about doing that?
Graham, what we love to share with folks is don't struggle alone. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have an opportunity to share with men and women what Jesus Christ can do in their life through our addiction recovery ministry. Guys, all they need to do is call the Colony of Mercy. Ask for Marianne, 1-800-453-7942. If there's a lady that's struggling, they need to call Barbara's Place. Dr. Lynn Johns would love to have an opportunity to chat with them. And again, the number is 1-800-453-7942. They can also go to our website. Lots of things on our website, tools, resources that they can use to at least get them started, get them back on track. And then we'd just love to have them call. Please call today. Don't struggle alone. 1-800-453-7942.
Well, that concludes the message for this month's podcast. I'd like to thank Bill for joining us for Discovering Victory. Bill, where can people connect with you online?
Well, they can write to me at bwelte, W-E-L-T-E, at americaskeswick.org. I'd love to have an opportunity to intersect with our listeners.
And the folks watching, I'd like to welcome you back next month as we feature another life-changing message recorded at America's Keswick. And if something you heard today impacted you in a special way, leave a comment on our YouTube channel, or you can email us at info@americaskeswick.org. We love to hear from you, and we love stories. We're really big on stories here at America's Keswick. And don't forget, we have tons of events happening all year round. Just like we talked today, we have Memorial Day weekend happening. If you'd like more information about that, you can visit our website, www.americaskeswick.org. I want to thank you for joining us today, and don't forget to keep discovering victory.